Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Happy Monday, Chiefs fans. Here we go again. Chiefs headed back to the Super Bowl, and we're here to talk about it for the next 2 weeks on Sports Daily. What a championship Sunday delivered, certainly, in that game. Another classic between the Chiefs and the Bills. It's Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester here. We'll get to all of it. We'll get to that NFC championship game today as well. We'll talk about the college basketball from the weekend. We'll give away some HTO. We'll take your comments on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. Thanks for listening to us on KFH. You can always give us a call at 869-1240. You can always leave us your voice messages on the Odyssey app. Tommy, Chiefs-Eagles. We could all see it coming, right? Chiefs-Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's...
The rematch is on.
I know. That NFL script is in full force, I feel like, to get the Chiefs and Eagles rematch in the Super Bowl. It was a great championship Sunday. So much to get into today. Looking forward to jumping right in.
Yeah, we'll start there. We've got Wyatt Thompson coming in here in about 10 or 15 minutes in his spot to talk about K-State's big win over the weekend. They were the only college basketball to get a big win over the weekend, so we'll dig into all of that as well. We'll take a bird's eye look here at championship weekend as we start things off in the NFL in this opening segment of the hour here, Tommy. Look, we expected an epic game in that AFC championship. We got an epic game in that AFC championship. Not sure who's had a worse, last couple of weeks than, Mark Andrews, but now Dalton Kincaid's going to have something to say about that as they had to play. Tommy, it was right there for them. It was right there. And whether you want to call it destiny, whether you want to call it the script or it's rigged or whatever it is, whichever lane you want to find yourself in, the Chiefs are headed back to the Super Bowl, and Buffalo had their chance. They did. Josh Allen made the play. Don't you feel bad a little bit for Josh? Josh Allen made the play. Like, it's all of this will get so tethered to him and so tethered to Sean McDermott, like, in the grand scheme of things. And you're just like, man, that wasn't Josh Allen's fault. Like, he made the play. Oh, man, that's heartbreaking for them. But for the Chiefs, it takes some of that. And they've had a lot of it this year. Like, I've never seen anything like it. You know, just the wild and wacky things that have happened for them, fortunately, to allow this unbelievable season to happen. And they get one in this game, 3 touchdowns for Mahomes. He was fantastic. A lot of the things we thought would happen happened, and we got an all-time classic again between these two teams.
Well, and, it took Kansas City scoring the most points they have had this entire season. They got over that 30 mark, scoring 32. They had to have every single one of those to be able to beat the Bills. And there's going to be, and there already is, a big-time narrative about the Bills and Josh Allen and not being able to get it done in the playoffs against Kansas City. But I'll tell you, like, this is our generation's version of Brady Manning. And it has been, it will continue to be. I mean, I don't think the Bills are going anywhere. I'm done doubting the Bills. I'm done doubting whether or not they've got a team to be able to at least make a deep playoff run. I thought this year was going to be a rebuilding year for them, at least offensively. And that wasn't the case whatsoever. Because, like you mentioned, they were great. James Cook was phenomenal. His touchdown run was outstanding, and you know, just sheer determination and effort to get into the end zone. You know, so all in all, like, they've got everything that they need. Unfortunately, they just run up against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs every time.
Yeah, and look, that happens. We know that happened. We just saw it happen with Brady. How many Super Bowls did Brady prevent others from winning? Right? Like, it's not even like we haven't seen this before. We literally have. We just saw it. Like, there wasn't a gap in time where we didn't have it. Now, Brady never got three in a row, and that's obviously what's on the line that we'll talk lots and lots and lots about. But you talk about this rivalry. It's not like the Bills never beat the Chiefs. The Bills beat the Chiefs. Josh Allen beats
the Chiefs.
They just
don't beat him in the playoffs. They just don't.
More often than he loses to the
Chiefs. Yeah, they
just
don't win in the playoffs, and that's been the big stumbling block for Buffalo.
It's crazy. And look, they did everything last night but make that catch. You had Wichita's own Jordan Phillips with one of the great defensive plays from an interior lineman you will ever see, lifting up the guard and bench pressing him backwards to make that play to halt the momentum and give Buffalo their chance. They get it. Steve Spagnuolo dials up the perfect call. Yet Josh Allen still makes the throw, and they can't come up with the catch. That's how close it is.
Yeah, I mean,
like, it was so back and forth all game long. Both teams did a great job of adjusting within the game. We saw Buffalo really give the Chiefs a hard time there, I thought, in the second half. But, you know, you've got to be perfect. We know this. You've got to be perfect to beat them in these spots, and they just weren't perfect on a play that they had to have. They didn't make it. And who knows what happens if they do make it. They still have a ways to go, and they would have just been getting into field goal range, but it was right there for them. It was right there for them. And then, you know, the Chiefs put it on ice with a couple of really nice plays and brilliant play call designs and those kinds of things. And it's nice to see Isaiah Pacheco have a big play because he's, you know, Kareem Hunt's kind of been the guy here, but it took everybody and it took the full effort. And yeah, it's just, what a game.
Yeah.
What a dang game again.
It was a great game. And, you know, yeah, there's going to be so much focus on that final offensive play for Buffalo. There was a lot more than just that final play. Right. And, you know, the conversation is going to be Dalton Kincaid. But I mean, you know, that's a different situation than the Mark Andrews drop. I mean, that Mark Andrews had a blatant drop and put, and also in another play, put the ball on the turf where Dalton Kincaid, I mean, that was a, you know, quasi Hail Mary from Josh Allen under extreme duress and pressure with four defenders around Dalton Kincaid, you know, on a fourth down like that. It's apples and oranges compared to what happened with Mark Andrews. But what's going to get lost in all of it is that, once again, and you mentioned it, Steve Spagnuolo dialed up the perfect blitz at that moment. And everybody in the building knew that he was going to blitz.
They just didn't
know where it was coming from and how it was going to work. And it was just a brilliant play call in that moment, you know, that ultimately sealed the deal for Kansas City. But so many other things in that game, like, and I know we're going to get into all of it. The Chiefs were up 21-10 at one point with a chance at least to put their foot on the neck of Buffalo. They weren't able to do it. Buffalo scores before halftime. And then they score again right after that. Like, there were all of these different momentum swings in the game, where I'm sitting there thinking, like, man, Kansas City had their chance. Like, they had their chance to, you know, actually maybe put Buffalo away. And here comes Josh Allen and the Bills, you know, storming right back and taking the lead. So, yeah, once again, another all-time classic. You know that's the way it's always going to be when these two teams match up, especially in the playoffs. And it for sure delivered.
What a game. We're going to dig into it. Do want to real quick tell you before we go to a break and get to Wyatt Thompson next, you can listen to KFH Radio for your chance at the ultimate trip to Vegas in March. Winning's easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, listen to KFH Radio. Listen each day for a minimum of an hour for your daily entry. It includes travel and accommodations for four to Las Vegas, plus $20,000 in spending cash. You can get all the info. It's a national contest. You can get it right there on the Odyssey app or at kfhradio.com. So really cool opportunity there for you. When we return, we'll take a brief pause from football. We'll talk a little college hoops. Wyatt Thompson, huge win for the Cats this weekend. That's next on Sports Daily.
Do Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
That's right. It is time for another Insider here, and we go to the voice of the K-State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. By the way, shout out to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up here on KFH each and every morning. Wyatt, you look up all of a sudden on Saturday, and K-State's out to this huge lead against West Virginia. Pretty much from that point on, it just kind of became, all right, let's maintain this lead. And that's exactly what they did. You know, they got outplayed in the second half, but it's okay. Like they came in, they got that going, and then they did what they needed to the rest of the way for their biggest win of the year.
Well, it really was. And so needed to stop a 6-game losing streak and one of frustration, certainly, because they had come close a couple of 2 or 3 times in those 6 games. They really did put it all together early. I thought they did a good job on Javon Small. He still ended up with 22, which tells you how good he is. I think he was 7 of 16 from the floor. But I think they did so many quality things over a much longer stretch in this game than they had in any probably in quite some time, if not for the entire year. Great balance in scoring, as an example, 5 guys in double figures. You got some bench production too. You know, I did an interview after the game and was asked about, you know, the key going forward. And I said David Gasson, and then I walked out of the arena thinking, you know, maybe I should have said Doug McDaniel, because the constant is in the 2 conference wins. Doug's had 17 points in 1 game against Cincinnati and 15 in this one, and his turnover rate is down. His focus is better. Lots of things on the table we can talk about there, but I thought he was a key part of the ballgame for sure.
You know, Wyatt, of course, the game, you know, starts out with the Wildcats jumping out to a 19-2 lead. And you could, even just watching it on TV, you could tell just the energy, you know, inside Bramlage was there for sure. And just the fact that they were able to not only hit their shots, but on the defensive end of the floor, hold West Virginia down, at least to start that game. And, you know, that I know that's the kind of start that Jerome Tang has been looking for a long time. What do you attribute that fast start to?
Well, I think a couple of things. It's a good observation. One, because I think the defense was stellar, and I think it led also to some really good quality offense. It's a funny game that way, right? Because once you kind of get it going on both ends, you get into this comfort level, and when you're making shots, it makes it look really good. I think the preparation was good. I think this is a team that, even though they had lost, as I said, you know, 6 in a row and had a couple of 2 or 3 close games there, I think the guys felt like they were getting closer. They haven't given up. It's been frustrating. I'm not going to deny that and all of that. But once the validation comes early in the game and it's like, wow, here we go, the fans are excited. Now you're really digging in and playing good defense. They also did a good job on the glass. Points in the paint were relatively even, but certainly an advantage there to K-State. I just feel like this is a team that we know has warts, but when they're at their best, everybody is contributing. We talked about Doug McDaniel briefly. Max Jones has been really pretty consistent lately, but look at some of the other guys. I thought CJ Jones may have played arguably his best game of the year. I'm not even real sure if it's all that close, to be honest with you. Coleman didn't necessarily shoot the ball well, but his role has changed some too, and I think he's embraced that. So there is progress, but this is hard. I mean, we've got Oklahoma State in here on Wednesday and then go to Ames. So let's see if they can get those Cowboys on Wednesday and hopefully build a little bit moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because you don't know if, like, is that game a product of an incredible start, and how much can you replicate that, I think.
Right.
Is that repeatable to play that way? But I will say, like, it's still out there. We were talking about that. Tom and I were at the same place watching the game. And it's like, you know, like, what's crazy about the Big 12 is every game you play, almost every game you play, is like a quad one kind of a game. Like, there are so many opportunities to win big time games. If you look at the rest of K-State's schedule, I think it's 12 games. There are only three where they're going to be relatively big underdogs. They'll be at Ames. They'll get Kansas again, maybe Arizona, but that's at home. And then another home one against Iowa State. So 3-4, whatever you want to look at it. Like, otherwise, they're going to be, at least before the game starts, the thought will be that they can compete in this game. So when you talk about like replicating that start, like how much do you think they can move forward with the way that they played Saturday? Because there's still enough games out there for them to win and do something this year.
Sure, I agree with all of that. And I think it's a good point, to be honest with you, because how much can they replicate? Let's start there. I don't know that you can replicate that type of start in terms of making baskets, because they were stellar there in the first part of the game. I mean, it's 19-2 with 12-17 to go in the first half. I don't know that you can shoot it like that all the time. But in terms of the effort and some of those types of things, and just getting down and grinding, as I like to say, where you're playing good defense, you're rebounding offensively, you're moving, cutting, screening. They've tweaked the offense some, and I think that's helped them also. But again, I think the rebounding has been better. The turnovers have been better. Most everything across the board has been a little bit better of late. I mean, they didn't play well in the last 12 minutes of the game in Waco, as you guys know. But if you look at from the start of the game to that point, they were pretty good. The zone killed them, and I think we'll probably see more zone going forward. I thought that took Doug McDaniel out of the game in Waco, and he's, again, I'm going to repeat this, I think he is a key factor. I don't think David isn't. I don't mean it that way. David's been our most consistent guy. Everybody that I talk to that covers the league loves his energy and what he's doing. But, hey, in this league, you better have good point guard play. And K-State's had better point guard play lately. 100% true.
In the game on Saturday, Wyatt, 5 Wildcats finished in double figures. And I felt like, as far as distributing the basketball, that really, I think, was a key factor in the fact that they not only were able to jump out to the lead, but win comfortably, because you had 26 made field goals on 16 assists. And, you know, we've seen Doug McDaniel be a facilitator offensively, but he was both that and a scorer on Saturday. You mentioned that, you know, he's going to be a key factor moving forward this season for the Wildcats, but I think it was a nice change of pace to see such a balanced offensive attack from the Wildcats.
Absolutely. And again, I'll be repetitive here, but that's when they're at their best. Again, they have flaws. There are things that happen from time to time that hurt them. But I do think they're starting to, again, winning that game is going to validate some of the things that the coaches have been preaching and teaching. And the guys are, I mean, they know. It's been a tough stretch. What I like is when we had David Gasson out at the broadcast site there in the post game following Coach Tang, one of the first things he said was, this is great and we're going to celebrate tonight, but it's back to work. Doesn't do us any good if we don't make it happen again on Wednesday night. I'm paraphrasing there, of course, but that's exactly right. I guess what I would say is you need to have some validation at some point that, hey, we're making progress. A win is a big part of that, and I hope that it helps them moving forward. It's not going to be easy. I don't think this is a team that against this schedule is capable of ripping off 7 or 8 in a row. That's I don't think that's what the Big 12 is, unless you're Houston and maybe Iowa State. So work to do, but it was a good step, no question about it.
Good step. See if it's repeatable. The next one is the most important one, obviously. And the next one is Oklahoma State, a chance for a little redemption there at home. The Cowboys, you know, at the time we were all maybe the most disappointed in that game. And then of course you had a really bad one the next game, but now a chance to, you know, to sort of get back to where we thought they should be. And you can win a game against Oklahoma State in the standings, right? That's a team. Game by game, Wyatt, a team with the same record as you in the Big 12 standings, jump them. Go beat them, jump them, get your revenge. Like, this one's easy to hype for if you're Jerome Tang.
Absolutely true. And I do think there can be some motivation from the game in Stillwater, because they had every opportunity to win that game and just didn't do enough quality things. what's going to have to be different with the game in Stillwater as opposed to here, they're going to have to do a better job of guarding Abu Usman, their center. He ripped K-State in the game in Stillwater. I think they did a pretty good job against most everybody else, but he really hurt them. And he, that's one area, too, where I think K-State has got to be better. They have been hurt, you know, by big men. We saw it with Hunter Dickinson and Lawrence as an example, and not that he doesn't do that to everybody, but you get, there's another area where improvement is needed, and hopefully they can make a step there.
I wonder, Wyatt, you know, talking about this upcoming game against Oklahoma State and then thinking about the way that the Wildcats played on Saturday, while it was a very balanced offensive performance from, you know, the starters and, you know, basically several different players from Kansas State, We're not seeing, and probably it's a good thing, right, to not seeing a guy like Coleman Hawkins put up 25, or, you know, it's much, much, much more balanced. And I wonder, I thought that he was most valuable when he was actually the one passing as opposed to the one scoring, which is kind of a different mentality than I think what a lot of people thought he would be this season for the Wildcats. And then with Doug McDaniel, it was the opposite as well. Do you anticipate we'll continue to see that moving forward? Is that going to be kind of the game plan where, rather than having a guy like Hawkins be your focal point offensively, Jerome Tang wants to kind of spread that out?
I love the subject, Tommy, and I think it's a really great point. I wanted to mention earlier in this little setting how well I thought in some areas that Coleman Hawkins played. In the game, pregame, before the game on Saturday, I introduced myself to Darren DeVries. I had never met him, and we talked for just a couple of 3 or 4 minutes. And I asked him about Coleman, and he very much praised his ability as a passer. Said he thought it was his best attribute, and said he even called him an elite passer for his size in this league. And I think when you look at what K-State has done in terms of progress here lately, that's a big part of it. Doug taking better care of the ball. We've seen even David Castillo in a little bit longer stretches be solid. He hasn't scored consistently, but some of the other things has been better. And so, again, it goes back to what we're talking about. Do what you do. And Coleman as a passer, they need him to score too. Don't get me wrong. If he could be a, you know, 12-7-6 guy, and I know that's pretty good, man, you take it. And I think K-State will benefit moving forward if he's closer to that most nights.
And that's what he's kind of been his whole career. So we'll watch it. Yeah. All right, Wyatt, you guys will have the call against Oklahoma State here Wednesday night, right here on the home of Wildcat Athletics. We're looking forward to it. Enjoy another home game. All this time you get to spend there in Manhattan. It must be nice.
It is nice, especially the way this thing goes, where you got two at home and two on the road. That week feels really good. The weeks where you're, you know, gone, and not quite so much, but hey, welcome to the 12, right? That's what the coaches say all the time. Welcome to the 12.
Yeah, that's it now, that big league. All right, Wyatt, we appreciate it. Thanks for hopping on with us.
You got it, fellas. Great talking to you.
There goes Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats. Always a pleasure. Always looking forward to it. Looking forward to that game against Oklahoma State. Let's see if they can get something going. Look, they got the talent. We know it. Maybe they're figuring some stuff out. They've played some good basketball. Win, lose, or draw here over the last couple of weeks. That's what we've wanted to see. Let's, real quick, Tommy, because we'll be talking so much football today, go through the rest of our college basketball here. And we may dig into this more, but we certainly will later in the week. The big one, KU, double overtime. Boy, they had their chances against Houston. Couldn't get it done. That's a bummer, 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 bummer loss for the Jayhawks, because they, not so much because they lost to Houston, which sucks. But that they had the game. And that stings a lot. Now you're sitting at a point in the standings where you're looking up at them. What are they, fourth, fifth in the Big 12 right now?
Yeah.
Like that's tough.
Yeah. They had that game. I mean, you know, leading by 6 with the ball, with 30 seconds to go in overtime. Like, they had that game, and just some lapses in focus, I think, and execution. I mean, something as simple as inbounding the basketball to basically ice the game away, and just unable to execute. That's unlike teams that we've seen Bill Self coach, and I know that he lamented that in the post game that, you know, he felt like, you know, those are kind of no-brainer plays where you just got to get the ball in, and then, you know, Houston's got a foul, and then you can ice the game, and the Jayhawks just weren't able to do that. You know, they had led at various points throughout regulation, looked really good in stretches, and I thought, man, this is going to be an opportunity, I think, for Kansas, at least at home, to be able to knock down a really, really good Houston team, and Houston is perennially good, and unfortunately, they just weren't able to execute in the biggest moments, and you know, that's what it was for Houston. They were able to go into Allen and steal one.
The KU just, like, at the base here. Houston's really good.
Yeah,
like really, really, really good. I think KU fans, I know you don't want to hear this, take solace in the fact that if you look back, you feel like you should have beat them, because I do think that's important, as KU's going to have to grind it out the rest of the way. Just keep that in mind, right? They'll get, you know, UCF, Baylor, two games they should probably win. They get a chance for revenge against Iowa State. Then K-State, you got to go on the road. And I know what we were just talking about, the Wildcats, feel good about your chances there. They got Colorado and Utah and BYU. They got Colorado twice and Oklahoma State. Like, they have a really tough stretch to end it with Tech, Houston, Arizona. But if you look at the totality, Tommy, of the rest of their schedule, it looks pretty good, right? Like, it looks, they must not lose any of these games. They shouldn't be in, you know, that they shouldn't, essentially. Like, can they afford, you know, another loss to Houston and Iowa State? Maybe. Everything else, they got to kind of go get it. Like, you can't lose another one at home. And you know, if you've got two losses the rest of the way in the Big 12, they're going to be okay. But that one stings, because that could have been one that you look back on when the dust is settling and things are trying to be sorted out, is like this really critical win for KU, because they had it.
I mean, even when the committee is figuring out seeding and all of that, I mean, you know, that's going to be one that you can definitely look at and be like, okay, like, that could be the difference between, I'm just throwing it out there, a 2 seed and a 3 seed, right?
Could be the difference in playing in Wichita, Tommy.
Here we go. Here we go.
Because it's all, like, it's my driving. We got to have it. It's too important to the city. Come on, KU. It's too important to the city. Got to make sure you get here. I don't care what seed it is. Just got to get here real quick. Shockers. Go to Tulsa and lose. I don't even know what to say, Tommy. You know, if I told you the Shockers lost, and what would you say? You predict the other team shot the three well or not? Because Tulsa shot 62% from three in the game. I don't know what to say.
Is there much more to say? I mean, it goes back to, like, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there to hear it, doesn't make a sound. You know, Shockers play, like, you and I texted a little bit about it. But I don't think either one of us were walked in, right? Like, it was Commanders Eagles in that moment. And that's sad. That's sad. Tulsa is not a good team. And this is something that, you know, the Shockers, they beat teams that they're more, or they lose to teams that they're more talented than. And this was another example of that on the road.
Tulsa going in the worst, and still coming out the worst team in the American.
Yep.
They're 2 games ahead of the Shockers in the standings right now. 2 games. So that's a tough loss for Wichita State. We'll come back. We'll get back to football when we return. Don't go away. It's all Brockton Caster. More Sports Daily coming your way.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Hey, if you have a home construction need, Pep and Suter should be on your list of calls. Let Pep and bid your project. You'll quickly see why they're the choice for our kitchen remodel here. They did work in our basement, did a fantastic job. Still communicate with them, making sure everything's okay here, and we're now about 5-6 months past the project. Their work's top-notch, customer service even better, and they'll help you every step of the way. Call Pepin, 316-573-6822, or go to pepinsuter.com to check out all their great work. Welcome back into Sports Daily. Quick shout-out to Sam Stevens, Wichita Zone, second at the what was the name of
the Farmers Insurance Open?
The Farmers Insurance Open. Yep. It happened over the weekend. They finished on Saturday, but a big, big finish for Sam. He went 4 under in the final round to finish second in that tournament. Pretty exciting stuff. So shout out to him. It was good there. We've got Jalen Thompson coming in the second hour to talk a little baseball, talk a little Royals briefly, just kind of check in. Free agency still chugging along a little bit. What are the Royals doing? Do they have another move in them? We'll get into that. But we're, of course, talking a lot of football here. Austin says on the video stream, happy Victory Monday. People need to just sit back and enjoy this greatness we're watching. Truly something special. I got to tell you, Austin, enjoy it, Chiefs fans. Most of the rest of the football world is not enjoying it. I get a lot of texts every week. You know, I'm not from here, so like my outer circle is not Chiefs Kingdoms. I just get constantly berated with messages about how did they call that worthy catch a catch, and you know, all the memes about the refs, all the meme, all of it just floods in, and I'm like, golly, like it's so strange to be inside of that now and follow it from this side, because it's what we all used to do to the Patriots and Tom Brady, right? Like every year, be like, oh, Brady's getting all the calls. They blew on him and they threw a flag and they did the tuck rule and the cheating and the spy gate, all this stuff. The league just wants him in there. Like it's so funny being on the other side of it, but it's wild. I know you don't get a lot of that, because most people are Chiefs fans in your circle, but most people are not. They're haters in mine, and I get berated with that because I'm here and I cover it every day, and they're like, how could they do this? And I'm like, guys, like I don't think the fix is in. Like, I'm sorry, I don't think it was in, you know, for the Cowboys in the 90s.
The whole thing is ludicrous. The whole argument, I never, even when Tom Brady and the Patriots were running wild over everybody in the NFL, including the Chiefs, right when Patrick Mahomes took over as the starter, there was not a single time that I thought, well, the fix is in. Like, the NFL really wants Brady right. And Belichick. I just thought, okay, these guys are annoyingly good. And, well, yeah, like, for me.
I think Roger Goodell likes Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. He did. There was not a good relationship with the Patriots. Like, I feel like they all hated each other.
Yeah.
At least it felt that way. And the other thing when I hear all that is, it's like, would you really, like, if that was really the case, like if there was this agenda to make sure Taylor Swift is at the Super Bowl, like imagine all the emotional investment we all give the NFL. Like, why would you even want to believe that? Wouldn't that be kind of like an ignorance is bliss thing? Even like, I don't understand. I was listening to the Infinity Sports Network here over the weekend, and one of the hosts was out of Kansas City. They brought up a good point on how this happens and why it's happening, why it happened with the Patriots. They're always in primetime. So, like in the NFL, you can't watch every game. Like, that's not the way the league is set up. So, because you watch more of the Chiefs, you're berated. This is a league of close calls like this. We see it in every single game, but you see it every time in the Chiefs because they're always playing in primetime. Like, you see them play more. So yeah, you see how often we get these calls. Glad to see, if nothing else, Adam Schefter reporting over the weekend that the league is going to go to replay assist more often on the quarterback calls. Like, why do we have to go through this song and dance? Why do we need to go through this silliness to get to that point?
Yeah, I don't have an issue with the fact that replay looks like it's going to be expanded, but the wording in his tweet was ridiculous. You know, like,
I didn't even see it. What did he say?
For everybody who thinks that Patrick Mahomes gets all the calls, relief is now coming your way. And it's like, it's not just Patrick Mahomes. Like, this is this happens everywhere with every quarterback in the league, you know? And it's just like, come on, man. Like, all you're doing is continuing to float this conspiracy theory that the refs, you know, are in the Chiefs' pocket. And it's ludicrous. It's just absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah, it's just, man, these games come down to the wire, and that is what it is. Like, if you think back to all the, like, imagine being a Chiefs hater. Imagine hating the Chiefs, right? And how thin through this entire run, right, these margins have been. It's been insane. This year's been an absolute microcosm of that, because it keeps happening, like, in every single game. But go back like to two Super Bowls in this run, razor thin, razor thin. This whole season has been razor thin. And it just like, and that is what's so wild about the NFL. And like, I've talked a million times about, you know, it's always Hall of Fame quarterbacks winning Super Bowls. And there's a reason. Like, it is so difficult for an entire season to continue to not make the big mistake, right? You don't make the big one, the big mistake. And the Chiefs, they make plenty of mistakes. They made plenty of them last night. They had that game in hand, and then they fumble a handoff and give Buffalo new life. Like, they make mistakes within every game, but never the big one. Never the didn't make that play when they had the chance in the biggest moment mistakes. And that's as much a part of this as anything. But that was a coaching display, both from the offensive and defensive side on the biggest moments of that game for Kansas City. Like, those are the things that navigate, and it's so hard to get it. So hard to get it. And the Chiefs have it right now. And to Austin's point, enjoy it while you have it, because we never thought it would happen again after Brady. And now we've gone 25 years with it always happening for a quarter century. This, you know, it's been basically a two-man show.
In the micro, with just the game last night, you mentioned some of these like big-time decisions that the Chiefs just got right in the moment. For me, those decisions and those plays were relying on the legs of Patrick Mahomes. That was the difference maker from this game compared to the last time these two teams matched up, where you had Patrick Mahomes rolling out with, you know, he could have thrown it if he wanted to, but designed for him to run for a first down. And, you know, rolling out to his right, he did it a couple different times on fourth down to be able to move the chains and extend a drive. Those were things that we haven't really seen that at least designed for him recently. We used to see it quite a bit, and then it kind of went away. He was able to do that and do it at a really high level last night. And I don't think the Bills defensively were particularly ready for that part of it. I thought those were brilliant play calls when they actually were called.
What's crazy about that is, to me, like, Patrick Mahomes, the most predictable bet in postseason football is Patrick Mahomes rushing, because that is when he cuts it loose.
From a scramble perspective, from, you know, everything breaks down and he has to take off. I'm talking about him rolling out to his right as soon as he gets the ball, and it's almost a designed, you know, deal for him to go and move the chains. And we haven't really seen that a whole lot recently. They dialed it up at perfect times in the game yesterday.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. I just, like, it's like, if you go back, I'm just pulling up. Okay, so here's his rushing yards. Let's go. Let's say the last, I don't know, when do we want to start this? We'll start it in the Super Bowl of 23. He ran for 44 yards. So then last year through the playoffs, he ran for 41, 19, 15, and 66 yards in the Super Bowl. Then another 43 yards yesterday. Like, it becomes such a big part of his game. And if you go all the way back to 2020, he does this. Like, I'll bet you that of his rushing totals in football, I mean, he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in his career, 7 playoff games where he's ran for more than 40 yards in a game. Like, it's what he does. That's when he turns it loose. He probably ran a little bit more earlier, but it's like this thing in his game that's, and I agree with you. It's a big reason why he's so successful and why they're so hard to beat, because you think you're about to get them off the field and he picks up those first downs with his legs. What are you supposed to do? Right? You can't necessarily just spy him like you can some quarterbacks,
yeah,
because Kelsey's always sitting there. You can't sell out to stop that because they always have the threat to go over the top. Like, you kind of have to pick your poison, and he just, in the postseason, historically, he runs the ball. It's like the Chiefs playoff bet that you make. Just take Mahomes' rushing total.
The bottom line for me, I thought about this after the game last night. Patrick Mahomes is Michael Jordan. And, you know, there really isn't, I'm not sure that you can really argue the opposite of that. I mean, he is. From, like, the clutch moments, from, you
that's
know,
him,
the,
him and Brady, that's what they are.
You know, and I think that it's interesting because when Jordan was doing what Jordan did and would just make ridiculous plays and just, you know, single-handedly win titles for his team and, you know, things
steal
like that.
Steal souls.
1,000, like that's, and that's what Mahomes does. I even think that Mahomes does that at a level maybe even higher than Brady. Not that Brady didn't do it. Brady did. But I think that, you know, from just, it got to the point to where everybody knew Brady was going to do it. People still have, I think, kind of this belief that Mahomes can't get it done. Like, there's like going into it, like, he's not going to be able to do it this time. He doesn't have Tyreek Hill anymore, you know, or his entire wide receiver room is decimated and gone, or he's got a terrible offensive line. Like, he's not going to be able to do it. Everybody knew Brady would do it. Going into it, everybody knew Tom Brady somehow, some way is going to make it happen. And I think that there's still this, like, doubt that Mahomes can't get it done, and it may take him scrambling. It may take him rushing for 40, 50-plus yards for him to get it done, but he's going to get it done, and he's going to steal souls along the way. And the doubt, I think, is still there, and I wonder if at any point it will ever go away. Like, you watch the national media, and they're like, this is the year that Mahomes isn't going to get it done. This is the year that the Chiefs aren't going to be able to make it happen. And then they just do. They just find ways to do it. That wasn't the narrative, at least as far as I can remember. That wasn't the narrative with Brady and the Patriots. People were like, nationally, were like, yep, Patriots are going to win again. Yep, it's a dynasty. Yep, they're going to continue to dominate. For whatever reason, I think there's still this overall doubt that the Chiefs aren't going to do it. Look at everybody that picked the Bills yesterday going into the game. I guarantee you that after what Saquon Barkley did and the Eagles did against the Commanders, everybody's going to pick the Eagles in the Super Bowl, right?
The Chiefs will be favored. The Chiefs will be favored, and the Chiefs are favored against the Bills.
But I'm talking about, like, picking, like, all the talking heads are going to say, oh, it's going to be the Eagles. Oh, this is going to be the year that the Chiefs are going to be knocked off their perch. That wasn't the conversation with the Brady and Belichick dynasty.
I don't think I agree with you on that. I mean, the CBS crew, more of them picked the Chiefs than the Bills when I was watching. I think the Fox crew, more of them picked the Bills than the Bills. It was about 50-50. But CBS's guy, I mean, I know Burleson and Watt and Matt Ryan, I think, was the only one to pick. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. The thing where Brady and Mahomes do have the Jordan effect for sure. We've got what you got to remember with Brady is it's so I love the parallels between their careers. I think they're so similar. What's crazy about Brady's stretch, all the Super Bowls like consecutively came on the second run of his 14, 16, 17, 18, and 20. So that's what Mahomes has now. That's where Mahomes' chance to pass him will be. Because Brady had that like 10-year stretch where he didn't get there, right? If Mahomes avoids that, that's how he passes it. But Brady did what Mahomes is doing now kind of twice. So that's where they're both. I mean, it's a wild comparison. We continue that into the second segment. We got to talk NFC Championship as well.
This Sports is Daily, coming right back. 1240 KFH, Wichita. K248 CY, Wichita. Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily, and we are live with you here. Glad to be with you on this Monday after championship weekend on KFH. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected on Facebook, YouTube X, leaving us your comments there. We appreciate it. You can also leave us voice messages through the Odyssey app. Lots of different and fun ways to get in touch with the program. Glad to have you here with us. We're talking, you know, the Chiefs headed to another Super Bowl. We'll get into the NFC Championship later in this hour. We will get into a little bit of baseball talk with Jalen Thompson for his weekly visit as well a little bit later in this hour. Glad to have you here with us. Tommy, it is wild. You brought up Brady, and I think it's, you know, we're going to have Brady on the call of the Super Bowl. This is all really, really fascinating stuff that these two guys have gone back to back and the similarities between them in, you know, in the way that Brady did it in so many different ways with so many different rosters, two generations of it, essentially. Mahomes is on a heater now, like Brady was late in his career. I don't know, like, it feels like Mahomes is always there. Brady was always, he went a 7-year stretch where they were in the Super Bowl 5 times, right? They won 3 of them. He did it when he was the big offensive juggernaut type statistical quarterback that he was early in his career. He didn't really play that way. They didn't really need him to play that way. Like the ability to just sort of do what's needed, the ability to consistently get there, make the big plays, the fact that, you know, Mahomes plays against so many great quarterbacks right now. Brady had Hall of Famers all over the place during his career, right? Whether it's Manning or Roethlisberger or Rodgers, who's going to get there, or Philip Rivers, who's probably going to get there. All these great quarterbacks, like, they're so similar, these paths. And we just never thought we'd see it again after we saw Brady. And we literally haven't never got a break from it. It went from Brady to Mahomes in an almost literal sense, right? They played each other in an AFC championship, and they played each other in a Super Bowl. But Mahomes has this chance that Brady never got to three-peat, right? Brady never did that. And so if you're looking at this from Mahomes' perspective, one of the things, if when the dust settles, that GOAT status that Brady has, one of the things Mahomes potentially, when that conversation ultimately happens, to put in his column now is, I got 3 in a row, which nobody's ever done. And so it'll be fascinating. I can't wait to see Brady on the call of this happening, because yeah, Brady's the old competitor. Yeah. You know, in his heart, Brady doesn't want him to get that right. Third Super Bowl in a row. Like, he'll put that to the side and be a professional and all that stuff. But that's a really cool angle to this, to have Brady on the call of Mahomes trying to do the thing that Brady could never do.
On top of that, too, I mean, you know, everybody's going to focus on the three-peat in the context of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and, you know, but Andy Reid, it's sure, wild to me just the way that his career arc has gone, you know, and the knocks on him for so long when he was in Philadelphia. And then, of course, he beats Philly for a Super Bowl, and then he's got an opportunity to beat him again to solidify 3 in a row. And
sure, you know, helps to have a great quarterback.
It 100% does. But man, he called a phenomenal game yesterday.
He was on one last
night. He 1,000% did. And I know Spagnuolo called a great game defensively. There have been several times, even this season, where I've been like, Andy Reid, what are you doing? Like, you're driving me crazy with some of these play calls and the way that you're abandoning the run and like all of these different things. He called a great game yesterday. Just the way that they utilized the run game. I've been saying it for a while. I felt like Kareem Hunt should be the lead back, at least for the remainder of this season. They leaned on him as the lead back yesterday, and it paid off. You know, they utilized Xavier Worthy in a phenomenal way. Some of those play calls, by the way, where they're not lighting the world on fire as far as like reinventing the wheel with the play calls. It's literally just Worthy on a slant. Just Worthy on a slant across the field, and his speed, and nobody in the Bills secondary could keep up with him. And well, that was huge. Yeah. And like, utilizing that was huge. And so, I mean, hat tip to Andy Reid. I thought he called a great game yesterday.
It was huge with Worthy, and it was somewhat predictable, which is why I think we liked Worthy, right? Like, you can't, if you're the Bills, you just can't let Kelce do what he did in the first game. And who's going to be the main beneficiary of that's going to be Worthy, right? Because in single cup, they've found a way now, like, if teams don't focus on him, for him to get open. And, you know, I don't know that I think he's the same runner with the football that Rashi Rice is, but he has done so much to become what Rice was in the sense of getting open, right? Like getting open and utilizing that speed and all his abilities. So he's been really good. Kareem Hunt is running at a higher clip than he's run all season as far as explosiveness, which, you know, great timing, right? And that's fantastic to see. They have both of them. You feel good about it. And yeah, you talk about that game plan. The Chiefs ran the ball a ton. So did the Bills.
Yeah.
Both of the teams ran the ball a lot. Like, we assumed that they'd want to, and you still had a 32-29 game. That was a little surprising to me, quite honestly, that the score got as high as it did with both teams running the ball that way, because they did. They both wanted to, and they both did run the ball at a heavy clip. Didn't have Juju Smith-Schuster as the big play guy in the game, but there you go. DeAndre Hopkins, DeAndre Hopkins at some point is going to make a big play. Like, they have so many weapons now, and it's you have to put to the side what we saw for about 80% of the regular season, because what the Chiefs are now just through health is not the same as they were for most of the season. Now they get 2 weeks to prepare with all of that, just like they had all that time before, right before the first playoff game that they played. They will have had, you talk about that stretch, Tommy, of 3 weeks or whatever it was, and the rust is a factor, but that's enough time for this team and Andy Reid to implement an entirely new offense. Like, you could basically say, you've got nothing on tape for us because we just changed everything that we do. They've got another 2 weeks here with all the people that they have. They can do the same kind of thing.
That was like, my point with the Patrick Mahomes designed runs last night. Like how we haven't really seen that lately, and they did it, and they did it well.
How, when you're Buffalo, do you plan for Juju Smith-Schuster being the big play guy?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and so now against Philadelphia, and this is not to tip my hand, but I'll be picking the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. But like, Philadelphia isn't going to change what they do. You're going to have to stop them at what they do.
Easier
They're
said than
going
done.
Totally. That's the thing with them. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying the difference in, you know, and how you approach it is Philadelphia's got to come in and say, we want to do what we do in this game, which is start with Saquon Barkley, and which is utilize our insanely talented top three passing threats and have Jalen Hurts, quite frankly, and we'll get into that game in a little bit, play the best game of his season like he did against the Commanders there. But for the Chiefs, and this is like, there's no telling what they'll do. Maybe they'll throw the ball 50 times. Maybe they'll throw the ball 30 times. Maybe they'll feature Travis Kelce. Maybe they'll feature Xavier Worthy. But you got to look out for the fifth wide receiver on the depth chart being the big play guy in all of that. DeAndre Hopkins exists somewhere and we know has a great rapport with Mahomes. Like that's what's so interesting. And we haven't seen this. This is new for the Chiefs. They've never had anything like this in their run. Like their early years, it was, you better stop Tyreek Hill and Kelce and then everything and nothing else matters. Right. Last year it was, we'll pepper Rashee Rice with 46 targets a game and see if you can't stop it. That's not the case this year. This is different. They've got time. They've got health on their side for the first time. And they have now, because of the bad health, quite frankly, and quite honestly, like if they don't have all the injuries, they don't have D-Hop. They don't have Kareem Hunt.
Right.
They don't have all these players. They don't have Juju. Now they have all these pieces there and they get all this time to tinker with it. That's what you fear if you're the Eagles. Like, what are you going to do now? On the flip side of that, Tommy, the Eagles have a great pass rush and they get it up the middle. That's the danger. We've seen, how many times in a Super Bowl or big games have we seen what pass rush up the middle? The Chiefs have made a living off of it with Chris Jones. The ultimate game plan disruptor is pressure up the middle. So this will be a, this will be a really interesting to break down.
You know what? Yeah, and I know that the Eagles have a better pass rush than the Bills did yesterday, no doubt. But I thought it was encouraging that we weren't talking about the offensive line during the Chiefs game yesterday,
absolutely
right?
Not.
Like that, and that's the way that it should be. If we're being truly honest, if we don't talk about those guys, if we don't bring them up, usually they're going to be brought up in a negative connotation. They weren't talked about at all yesterday. I thought that was partially game plan, but partially, I feel like they're starting to settle in a little bit. Do I love Joe Tooney playing left tackle? No, I'd rather him be in the interior. I'd rather him go back to left guard. But that, I don't think that's the reality, and I don't think you can change that for the Super Bowl, even knowing that the Eagles can get up the middle, even knowing that they're good at that sort of thing. I think you have to just roll with what you've been able to do recently because it has worked and it's been okay. It's been better than what it had been. I think, it's going to be easier said than done. But that's a nice development for sure.
There's just so much. We got 2 weeks to do it, and we'll do it. Chiefs fans partying hard today. We're going to talk about that NFC Championship game when we come back. We'll get to it all today. It's going to be fun. Stick with us. It's all Brockton Caster on a Monday. Chiefs Celebration Monday. Don't go away.
Commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sports Daily. If you want to win some HTO, you can do that right now. A text-to-win contest, you can enter by texting the keyword T to the short code 20357. That'll get you a free iced tea, more than 20 flavors, including the all-new root beer. Get you a free iced or hot coffee. You can get one of each at the Wichita East, West, or Derby location. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. Boy, Eagles, Commanders, Tommy, what a game that was. And I just, the Eagles, I think what we saw as much as anything, at least for me, is the Eagles roster is way better in totality than the Commanders. Commanders have some great players. They've got magic, I think, in the culture there, and a great young quarterback. Sort of reminded me, honestly, of the first year of Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, they did these things that probably people didn't totally expect, and they went up against a juggernaut in the Patriots, but that's kind of what it felt like. But the Eagles, I think, as much as anything else in that game, remind us that they may have top to bottom the most talented roster in football, and what they did with their rookie class and how they turned that defense around is unbelievable. This is going to be. They looked really good yesterday.
They really did. Saquon, I think, looked amazing. And that's hard to stop for the Eagles. Going back to your point about the Commanders, though, I said it during our picks on Friday that I think that Jaden Daniels and the Commanders will play in a Super Bowl at some point.
Oh, sure.
It wasn't going to be this year. I mean, like, they're nobody expected them to get to this point, but just the ascension in year number one for Jaden Daniels is phenomenal. I think it's what a lot of people expected we would see from Caleb Williams in year number one, but we got it with Daniels. But there were a lot of other pieces that came to play. You were able to plug Jaden Daniels in to an organization that already had guys like Terry McLaurin and Zach Ertz. Who I think will probably be a Hall of Famer when his career is all said and done. So that helps a lot. And you've got a great coach in Dan Quinn and an awesome offensive coordinator in Cliff Kingsbury on that entire organization. So I think they're going to get there. I think this is the start of something big for the Commanders. I think they'll be a force to be reckoned with for years to come in that division and in that conference for sure. The Eagles have so much firepower. They really do. And it starts with Saquon. That was the missing piece for the Eagles for sure, because when you compliment him with Jalen Hurts and then, oh, by the way, throw in A.J. Brown, throw in Dallas Goedert, throw in Devontae Smith, like they've got a lot of weapons. And they showed that. They flexed on the Commanders yesterday.
They did. Jalen Hurts had a long run called back. His knee looks fine. He almost had a four rushing touchdown, 50-yard kind of game. Like,
my long shot bet almost hit.
It did.
Washington was one rushing touchdown away from my every team playing yesterday getting two rushing touchdowns or more. That almost hit.
It almost hit. The Commanders couldn't come through for you on that. It was a really impressive performance by the Eagles on both sides of the ball. I think that's the danger when you talk about the Chiefs. Like, they may be the most complete top to bottom team. Now, I don't know that I would say their offense is as versatile as the Chiefs, and that's going to be a challenge for that defense. But man, they flat loaded up on defense. And it was just one of the better off seasons we have ever seen a front office have in what they did to bring in so much talent and Vic Fangio to make that defense as good as it was. You gave me a hard time early in the season when I picked the Eagles, but the reason I picked them wasn't even that I thought the defense was going to end up being this. I thought the defense was going to be good, but it was more based on like Barkley Hurts, right? Like trying to stop the Barkley Hurts, minimizing mistakes. It's easier to not make mistakes when you have Saquon Barkley there and you can lean into that. This defense has been a revelation. I'm not sure anybody saw this level of defense getting there. I mean, how could you? With a couple of rookies back there at corner, another rookie in the running for defensive player of the year. Like, how could you see that coming? But it's here. It's here. And now they've got a chance to go get their revenge against the Chiefs, and this is going to be very likely, just like it was last time, just like the Buffalo game, just like all these Chiefs Super Bowls, in the fact that it's going to come down to who makes a couple of big plays in the game in different spots. And that's where you always lean into Mahomes, of course, and Kelce and those guys. But it should be good. That was a really impressive performance by the Eagles. And yeah, the Commanders will probably get there. You never know. They'll probably get there. But if you're going talent to talent on roster, not even close. Commanders and Eagles.
You know what? It was interesting going into both games yesterday. I had this mentality. I had this thought that it didn't really matter who won in the NFC Championship game, because I felt like either the Chiefs or the Bills would beat either one of those other teams in the NFC going into the game, going into both of them. Like yesterday morning before kickoff, I'm like, Bills, Chiefs, like that's kind of the Super Bowl. And whoever wins that game will probably win the Super Bowl against either the Eagles or the Commanders. Then the Eagles put 55 on the Commanders. I'm like, okay, like it's going to be a heavyweight bout, you know, here in a couple of weeks in New Orleans. And that was impressive. I mean, the margin of victory was impressive. The way that Philadelphia was able to keep Washington at arm's length when the Commanders, they started to come back. They had a couple of different moments where they stayed in the game. And then late, Philly just, again, they flexed. They flexed on the ground. Even going all the way back to the very first offensive play from scrimmage when Saquon was off for a touchdown was outstanding. It's going to be a challenge, you know, for the Chiefs to do what they've done. This has been a focal point and a positive in most of their games this year defensively, is being able to stop the run. But then you've got Saquon. Like, stopping Saquon, that's nearly impossible.
And it's not just that. Romo was all over this all game long yesterday. Like, the Bills must just keep giving the ball to James Cook. And they did in the second half. And the Chiefs, it gave the Chiefs trouble. And so if the Bills with Josh Allen and James Cook could do what they did, which they did get themselves sort of back under control that way, what's going to happen when it's Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley? And Jalen Hurts with another couple of weeks to rest. And I would argue, too, Jalen Hurts is nowhere near the passer, the thrower, that Josh Allen is. But he does have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert out there. Right? He's got better weapons, I would argue, than Josh Allen does catching those passes. So it will be a huge challenge for the Kansas City defense. How do you can you afford to sell out to stop Barkley with those receivers Philly has, or do you just trust your base run defense, which has been really good most of the year, to get the job done? But we saw Buffalo find a lot of success on the ground late in the game yesterday. So we'll have a ton of time to talk about that. But at the core of it, the Eagles are, I mean, that's the best of the Eagles, basically, what we saw against the Commanders. I will say this too. The Chiefs defense is, I mean, galaxies better than the Commanders, in my opinion. So yes, we saw the Eagles score 55. Yes, they kind of pushed them around a little bit. But if you're an Eagles fan, don't walk into the Super Bowl thinking you're playing the Commanders defense again. Does that make sense? You're not. Chiefs are a way better defense than Washington. So it goes both ways, right? Like there are two sides to that. And again, I'll pick the Chiefs. I'll pick the Chiefs. I'll pick Patrick Mahomes over Jalen Hurts. It's pretty simple for me. They are loaded. And Saquon Barkley is out of his mind.
I was trying to think, like, has there been a better running back season? Like, have we witnessed something like this? I'm maybe going back to like an Adrian Peterson MVP, you know, season, or you know, even Barry Sanders, like going that far back. I mean, there probably has been, but I mean, from the regular season all the way through the playoffs, where it's just being consistent week in and week out with Barkley, I don't know if we've seen a running back performance quite at this level before.
Well, we got to be a little bit careful and not throw shade at Christian McCaffrey, who probably should have been the MVP last year too, but in a different way than Saquon. Obviously, McCaffrey does it in a different way.
I mean, should Saquon be the MVP this year, right? Like, well, they, I know it's already done, but the two front runners are
because it's a regular season award, and that's what's so dumb, right? Yeah. Like if it was a full season award, yes, he should be.
Yeah.
Because it's a regular season award, I mean, again, like in the regular season, Lamar Jackson's numbers are just the most ridiculous numbers we've ever seen from a quarterback. The problem is it's a regular season award. Saquon would be if you took the full year. He's had that kind of impact. And look, the knock on Saquon historically as he's been boom or bust. He's been a boom or bust runner. He has a lot of carries that don't do much, and then he'll break a couple off. That's not the way you get to a dominant ground game. And that's sort of been the knock on him. Well, he played for the Giants, right? And people could sell out to stop him. Even if you took away that first run yesterday, that 60-yarder, if you took it away and took the rest of his average and understand that they didn't have to use him in the way that, you know, they might normally in a game against the Chiefs, he still averaged over 4 yards carry. So he was efficient. He was effective, like all those things. So that knock that had been on him in New York, right, that it's like 1 yard carry, 2 yard carry, 1 yard carry, 50-yard carry, That's kind of gone. Like, he's been far better consistently this year than ever before. And there's Jalen Hurts there unlocked. I think Jalen Hurts showed us yesterday that he's still like he's healthy enough to do that. And he will against the Chiefs. The Chiefs run defense will be tested like it hasn't been tested all year long. Like the Eagles can absolutely control this game if they get things going. And that'll be one of the great storylines of this Super Bowl. I mean, it is a great matchup. These are the two best teams in their leagues, especially when you can if we just push everything else to the side, Tommy, and say who are the healthy, right? Healthy. Who are the two best teams in each conference? These would be the two best. These would be the teams most people picked. Maybe you take the Lions if I told you everybody's healthy. Maybe. But if you knew everybody was healthy, these are probably the two teams that you would take.
Yeah, I certainly didn't think going into this season with the acquisition of Saquon Barkley that it would be that much of a difference maker for the Eagles. I thought it would be. I thought they would be improved. And I think that there was a part of me that thought, okay, well, this will be, you know, enough to at least make them a contender again. But I certainly didn't think that we would see like this resurgence from him to a point to where, like you mentioned, the consistency was there, where you're adding him into an already pretty loaded offense. And the game plan has been able to dictate most of the season that you can feature him, but then you can also use him as a decoy at times when you've got Jalen Hurts to run the football and to be able to get it to some of those high quality receivers. So all in all, I mean, I'll admit I underestimated just the overall impact of what his addition brought to this team. They wouldn't be in the Super Bowl if they hadn't acquired him. It would have been the Eagles that we saw a year ago. They would have been a good team.
I think their defense is what is like you're, their defense you're right. this but, year but has it, been the but best adds, in football.
You're right. But from an offensive point of view, it provides an extra layer, an extra wrinkle that they didn't have before where don't get me wrong, I think they still would have been a playoff team for sure, but I think we would have seen the Eagles team, you know, from a year ago where they sort of collapsed down the stretch, probably a little bit more this year had they not acquired Barkley.
Barkley hides Jalen Hurts' deficiencies as a thrower. I mean, that's what he does, and that's why he's so perfect for them. Hurts is amazing at the things he does. Relying on him to throw it 40, 50 times a game is not what he does. And so it was this grand combination. Like if the defense wasn't good, they had one of the worst pass defenses in football last year, and you were making Hurts try to be that dude. That's not Hurts. That's not him at all. This is where Hurts is absolutely lethal in a scenario like they have now. And you've gone and essentially added four Pro Bowlers to the defense and Vic Fangio, the coordinator, who's been one of the best at what he does throughout his whole career, head coaching resume set to the side. Like that's they're there. And, you know, I think there are still plenty of people that think Sirianni is, you know, just sort of riding the wave. He's got a chance to say a lot in this game. I'll tell you this, most of the conversations are going to be about what these offenses are going to be capable of. It feels very much like which defense steps up and makes two or three critical plays in this game, probably determining it. But it's the right matchup. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be wild. It'll be within 2 points, I think, on the line, and it'll probably move around a little bit. The Chiefs are going to get tested. It's going to be great. I don't know whether I think Philadelphia or Buffalo is better. I'm not sure. I think they're both really good. I think they were both the two next best teams. So we'll see. But it'll be a great test for the Chiefs. We're fortunate here to have this run to talk about every day. It's wild to be able to have this for this long. I just can't. It's crazy. It's crazy. Because, and I said it earlier, like, you just never thought you'd see this again after Brady. And we just didn't have any gap there. Didn't have any gap. It just keeps happening. Great quarterback play in this league. And, it's wild.
By the way, Patrick Mahomes is only 29. You know, like, yeah. And you never want to take anything for granted. You never know what the future is going to hold. But, yeah, like, you can appreciate the greatness while it's happening. And I think all of Chiefs Kingdom does. But I know I at least am thinking, okay, like, even as things change, like, Travis Kelce isn't going to play forever. Andy Reid probably isn't going to coach forever. There's still, a pretty sizable window left as far as contention for Kansas City to get more Super Bowls because of number 15, because of who the guy is under center. Sure. And every time he's out there, he gives you a shot just because of his unwavering willingness to just, like, put the team on his shoulders. Like, I'm going to take this team and I'm going to get a win. I'm going to make the plays, whether it's to extend a drive or whatever. Like, he's going to do that. And that greatness, I mean, yeah, like, you appreciate it when you're in it. I'm also excited about what that means, you know, what that's going to look like years from now.
Well, I am too, but he's not going to have Kelce forever. He's not going to have Jones forever. He's not going to have Andy Reid forever, I don't think, on Reid. That cast that's helped do this, those guys, it's been wild. No, by the way, Harrison Butker's back and hit key playoff field goals again. Surprise to nobody. We tell you all the time about Crestview. So got a quick report. We did finally get to our golf simulator on Crestview on Saturday. It was great. That thing is impressive and crazy, but what was even more fun is we're sitting there on the simulator. We can order food. We're having beers. We're watching K-State on one TV. We're watching KU on the other TV. It's a great night. So, you know, we talk about, it's the first time I've utilized some of those since we've been over at Crestview. They're great supporters of the program. Tom and I are both there. The full report on that was a great night. So even, you know, out of season, we had a blast. It really, like, again, like, you don't have to do all the crazy stuff with it. There are smaller membership things for them where you can just do stuff like that. So quick report back. It was good. I don't remember who won the golf simulator, Tommy. I don't recall.
I think I did. I believe I won.
I don't remember. I must have had too many beers because I just don't. It just slipped my mind. Whatever that was, I just can't recall. But it was a great time. So thanks to Crestview for supporting us. Give them a call. Check out those facilities. You'll see what we're talking about. We got a Super Bowl here. It's here. We're 2 weeks away now from history, the three-peat. I'm glad we got 2 weeks to get it all done because there's a lot to cram in with it. We're going to take a quick break. We'll talk a little baseball when we come back. Jalen Thompson joins us, our Royals insider. Return on Sports Daily.
Take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And welcome back. Hey, if you're on your way into work, want to keep listening to Sports Daily interviews like this. If you ever miss them, you can get them whenever you want. After you get out of the car with the Odyssey app, odyssey.com, you can download the app, visit odyssey.com, search for KFH, get started today, and you'll find the podcasted form of an interview with Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider. Welcome in, Jalen. Now, listen, I got to ask you a question here. I go to your handle earlier, and a bunch of balloons fly at me on X. So happy birthday, I assume, Jalen.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it. I turn 30 today. And it's a little scary to say that number, but, you know, it's all fun. And I'm happy to see the day.
Hey, you and Patrick Mahomes, right? Patrick Mahomes is getting it done just fine at your age. I think you'll be just fine. The Royals, not a lot of noise here, Jalen. So we're just kind of chugging along. It's been a wild offseason. What do you think it's like when you're somebody in an organization like the Royals, a front office like the Royals, and you see what the Dodgers are doing? Other teams have done this over the years, but like, it's just such a strange phenomenon in baseball that it's like, it's almost like teams are playing two different sports here. What do you think that's like for them?
Yeah. And I think when you look at it, the Royals, they have to know who they are. They know that they are in a small market, and a lot of their development has to come from within. So, you know, minor leaguers developing, signing, and hoping they produce at the big leagues. Sometimes it works, like you see with Bobby Witt Jr. Other times, it might not. But when you look at what the Dodgers are doing in L.A., it just shows the power of money and having a pretty much unlimited supply, it seems like in their case, going to getting any type of player that you kind of want and sign them to a team. I think that that's just the playing field that MLB has right now. And I don't know if there's going to be regulation or anything like that that could come forth from it in the future. But I mean, the Dodgers are playing within the rules of the game, and you got to give it to them for that.
Jalen, I wonder, you know, as we are getting closer and closer to pitchers and catchers reporting and spring training right around the corner, the free agent market, generally speaking, I feel like is late developing. I mean, obviously there have been some major moves, but there are still a lot of players that remain out there, you know, that are available. Do you see the Royals, you know, at this point, at the very end of January, making any additional moves, or are they basically set, do you feel like, with who they have?
I think with it being so close to February and pitchers and catchers reporting on the 11th and really just – no, 12th, I'm sorry, February 12th pitchers and catchers report. But to see where the team is right now, there could be – maybe a minor move or two if it comes about. But I think, like you said, I think they're probably content on what they have going into spring training. Now, when spring training gets here, a player could fall out of a rotation or something could happen and players could latch on. So that's always a possibility for the Royals to jump in and make a signing. But I thought when you saw Anthony Santander sign with the Blue Jays and you saw Jerkson Profar sign with the Braves, I mean, both of those players were like potential fits that could have worked for the Royals. But in Profar's case, he said he wanted to be a Padre or he wanted to be a Brave, and he chose to be with the Braves. So, I mean, a lot of that too has to be on the player. Like, what does the player want to do? The Royals can be interested in signing a multitude of players, but the players have to be receptive to coming to Kansas City as well. So I think that before we get to spring training and how that starts up, I think the Royals will probably be content with what they have. And then when they are in spring training, if there's a guy that comes up, like I mentioned last time, like John Schreiber was available, they went and got him during spring training, and he was a big part of the team. So it's still not over yet, but I think for right now, the Royals are probably looking like, let's just take what we have into spring training and see what we can do.
I mean, where would you still, like, if they, I mean, an injury is one thing. There are, I mean, Kenley Jansen is out there. Could be handy for them, I suppose. There are quite a few starting pitchers out there. I mean, if you had to guess where they may still want to attack, where would you guess? Is it bullpen, or do you think they still? I guess the more important question is: are they comfortable with the outfield the way it currently stands?
Yeah, I think they still would like to, like I said, add that bat to the outfield, but it just hasn't materialized yet. So when you look at how they're going to fill that spot, maybe it might be someone where they stick with MJ Melendez, and then you might throw out a Jonathan India or Michael Massey at times in left field just to get it started and then kind of see where they are. I think a lot of that's going to be determined in spring training. Like, if they come to spring training and MJ Melendez looks like he's improved, I saw videos where he kind of was working on his batting stance a little bit. And if that helps him at the plate, is that you might be okay with him starting the season out there.
I think you are. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just depends. I think reliever might be the easiest one to kind of fix if you want to add something else to the team, because like you could always get a veteran reliever. But that outfield spot, that's gonna be something that is probably gonna be a question mark going into the season.
Do you think that I know that there are a couple of, you know, really high profile minor leaguers in the farm system for the Royals, and you know, some of these prized guys that they've been able to bring in, whether we're talking about Caglione or Mitchell, you know, some other guys like that. Do you see any of those guys making a major impact or even an impact at all with the big league team anytime soon? Or, you know, is it something where they still need some more time to develop in the minors?
Yeah, I think the big three of Blake Mitchell, Carter Jensen, Jack Caglione, everyone kind of wants to see what they're going to do this year, because I believe that if they continue to hit throughout the minor leagues, I think the Royals will continue to maybe accelerate their push up the levels, like maybe getting to double A and possibly triple A this year. But I don't see them potentially being a major impact on the major league roster, not just this year. Now, 2026, that's a different story. But for this year, I think the Royals are content at both of those positions where they play at catcher and first base, that you might not see them make a huge imprint. But who knows? Barring injury, anything could happen. But for right now, I think they're going to shine the most in the minor leagues.
So as you look at things right now with the rest of the division, Jalen, knowing what has come back and what's out there, should we go into this season thinking, hey, this is the Royals division to win? Because I kind of think we should be.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. And I think the Royals would want to view it the same way, because when you look at what they did last year, they were totally ahead of schedule. Like, we can't just forget they lost 106 games in 2023. You make a 30-win improvement in 2024. If you make a similar improvement, or even if you make a 5-game improvement from what you did last year, now you're talking like you're at 91 victories.
But isn't that fool's gold a little bit? Like, isn't there, like, you can't expect that again. I think that's, and that's why I asked that question. Like, but the reality is, like, the Twins have now famously done literally nothing this offseason.
Yeah.
The Guardians, I think, are expected to not be quite as good, although they would be the ones to. But the Tigers are, you know, the Tigers are sort of on that same ascension that the Royals are on. I just, like, I'm trying to gauge, like, how excited, but I'm with you. Like, I think the expectation should be to win the division, but we know, like, the improvement last year was, we don't see improvements like that. Is it sustainable? Yeah. Like, I think it is.
I think so, and I'll say for two reasons. The pitching rotation, starting pitching rotation, is going to be bad. You look at what Cole Reagans has done since he's been a Kansas City Royal. He's been consistent. Seth Lugo is one of the most consistent pitchers out there. Same with Michael Walker. And then Michael Lorenzen, he showed you something last year. If he can continue that again, he's just a great veteran number four. So you have four guys that are really strong at what they do. And I think starting pitching is going to carry the Royals. And I think people really haven't seen the impact of what Jonathan India is going to provide for his team. I think him being that leadoff hitter and constantly getting on base ahead of Bobby Witt Jr. and Vinny Pasquantino and Salvador Perez, that's going to open up the lineup where instead of winning games, like I said before, 4-3, you might win games now 6-2. Or 7-3 or something like that, because you have extra runs at your disposal. So I think it's fair to say that the Royals are a favorite to win the American League Central. But like you said, they have to prove it on the field. And last year they were extremely healthy, and that might not be the case this year. So I think there is a reason to have pause on the other side of that.
Jalen, we appreciate it. Happy birthday again. You can follow Jalen on X at Jalen Thompson. Royals, we're going to be in spring training mode real fast, and we cannot wait to have you with us here to walk us through some of the ins and outs of the organization. You can find his work at the Kansas City Star. Enjoy it, Jalen. 30s are the best.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Here goes Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider. Lots of good stuff there. If you missed any of it, go back and listen on the Odyssey app. It'll be really, really nice to have him through the season with us here. Looking forward to that. Yeah, I think it's fair to say, Tommy, Royals should win the division this year. I mean, I don't know how realistic it is, but I think it's a fair expectation.
I'd love to see them get another bat. Like, if they could get another bat in that lineup, I would feel a lot more comfortable saying that. But no, I do think that those expectations, you know, should be there just based on what we saw a year ago.
Yeah. But why not? Right? Why not? It's there. I mean, it's theirs. It's theirs. If you missed anything today, we've been talking a lot of football, a lot of Super Bowl preview, a lot of looking back. We mentioned this off the top. I 4 out of the last 5 years, the Chiefs have knocked the Bills out of the playoffs. That sucks for Bills fans. That's brutal. They've been here before. They've lived this before. That's just brutal. Brutal. And what do you even, like, if you're the Bills and you look back at that game yesterday, like, what do you even shake your head at?
Yeah.
They played well.
Yeah, they did. They did. I mean, they genuinely did. You know, there were some moments where, you know, I'm sure that they would like to have some things back. Even early on in the game, I felt like Josh Allen was a little amped up. Some of his passes were kind of sailing on him a little bit. You know, I think the adrenaline was there for sure, that I'm sure he would have liked to have some of those back. But generally speaking, man, like they did what they needed to do. I mean, I think I read that, one of the few teams to have 4 or more touchdowns in a game, no turnovers, and lose the game, you know, in the playoffs. Like, that doesn't happen, but it happens against the Chiefs.
It happened. Like, yeah, that's like, and that's got, that's the part where you're Josh Allen and you just sit there and you're like, this is so stupid. This is so stupid. We went in there, we played our game, we established the run, we did everything we needed to do, and we still didn't win that game. How does that even happen? Like, they made their field goals. Like, there wasn't anything other than the last Kincaid Hail Mary non-catch, which would have been a great play. Should have been a great play. But, you know, that's not one I think you look back and be like, that's the reason we lost the game. It's crazy. Yeah, like, life sucks for Bills fans right now. I feel for them, man. That is just absolutely brutal. They've been there before. 3 straight Super Bowls, lose all 3. Now you're in this, like, you're living this nightmare. Like, God, I will say this. Of all the teams out there right now, like, they have, to me, the most staying power. And the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs do, too. But I do feel bad for the Bills. Chiefs fans don't. They're like, whatever. Suck it up, Bills fans. All right, we'll come back. We'll have our final segment here on Sports Daily. Don't go away.